Good afternoon or good evening, depending on your persuasion. So we're holding over here in middle of Vayikash Yoram Yaldos, and I'd like to add two more things on the things that I've said before, two more very interesting points. One is there is a very interesting Bnei Yisoscha. He speaks about, it says, Vatirena Mialdas Asalikim, and Vayaslem Botim. And we saw Vayikyora Mialdas Asalikim, Yaslem Botim, Ravashmoset, Bate Malchus, Bate Kun, and so on. So the Bnei Yisoscha says Pshat, and I'd like to tweak it in a little bit of a different direction than Bnei Yisoscha says. He says the following Pshat, that the midah of Yira specifically is a midah that keeps the world going. Yiras Hashem Tahora Omeres La'ad, it says that the world had no kiyum because it was mitmateach v'hoylech. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the element of Yira into the world, that created the key of the world. So as a midah, keneged midah, there was, they received a reward, which was kayim. That's the way he says it. I'd like to use that nekuda in a little bit of different oifen than he's using it as follows. The midah of yira allows for, the midah of a yira is mitzamtzem certain things. In other words, it creates walls. Adkan v'sulo. So just like, for instance, Shammai is considered to be from the Shoresh of Yira. The Chiddush speaks about it, and everyone, Maral's Maram is to it. So what the word Yira means is that the boundaries are very sharply delineated. So it's just like when you're looking at something through glass, you can see something with broader boundaries, so it's less clear, less sharp. And sometimes you need to see things as you turn the lens, it comes into very sharp focus. The lines become exceedingly sharp and specific. So the midah of yira is something that's very, very specific. Now, I would like to understand the specificity of that midah in regard to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them and in regard to Bria Solam. It says, Yiras Hashem Torah Medes La'ad. So there are two reasons why something might come to an end. One is the thing itself runs out. So for instance, let's say I have water. The water could possibly evaporate and so on. That's, or let's say we have, let's say a gas tank that runs out of gas. That's one picture of something running out, but there's another picture of something running out. When we talk about things, so for instance, imagine that I have some sort of a rock in the water. So when I put the rock in the water, it's very, very sharply defined. Slowly, the rock begins to commingle with the water, and it disintegrates and dissolves in the water. And now I have a water with a unified mineral content and no rock. The same thing is true if I have hot air and cold air. All of the specific entities that I create in this world, whenever I don't have a real boundary, it slowly dilutes, disintegrates. It is the nature of entropy that everything tends to even out. Heat and cold and everything tends to disperse and even out, and you reach the lowest common denominator or the common denominator of everything. I once read a fascinating, a biologist made a fascinating point that if you to ask a person, what is the most important segment or element of a cell? So we would tend to answer the nucleus, the mitochondria, a lot of other things. He said the single most important part is the membrane around it, because the minute you don't have a membrane around it, then basically you don't have a cell anymore. It stops being a cell, and it dissolves instantly, and you get a lot of little protein all over the water cup, and that's it. Look at the South Africans here. I don't have to call it apartheid, but I'll upon him. That is the, but to give something definition, you need to define it, which means create a fence around it that gives it its clear meaning. So if you want to, a bias in Klal Yisrael means a certain movement, a certain quality that is a unique strand within Klal Yisrael. So to be able to do that, you need Yira. And therefore, the two batim, Kahuna, Leviya, Ekuna slash Leviya, and Malchus, are batim. These are unique features of Klal Yisrael that till the end of the Deiris, it will be there. The Shevet Yehuda has Malchus, and only Shevet Yehuda has Malchus, and it will have Malchus at Sof Kol HaDeiros. Shevet Levi as Kehuna, only Shevet Levi as Kehuna, and Shevet Levi will therefore have it at Sof Kol HaDeiros. So the ability to create a bias, and if Hagar Batzon, if you think about it, a family unit is defined on the one hand as a closed circle. There's the man and the wife, and that's it. That's the circle. No one else is in on that circle. And then it perpetuates itself forever. When there is no closed circle, it doesn't. So therefore, the binyan of a bias, the midah is the midah of yira. The midah of yira creates a very sharply defined entity, and therefore it perpetuates itself. It's almost the hefech of the thinking, where let's take the reform movement. It's become now conservative also, but the reform movement is that in order to help the Jewish people last forever, we must open up the boundaries and allow intermarriage, you know, lemachzel l'shlisha via or encourage, however, whatever mishagas they're saying. By definition, then basically Judaism doesn't mean anything. If it is open to everybody anywhere all the time, then basically, yes, you perpetuate Jewish people. If Jewish people doesn't mean anything, then you've perpetuated it. It's an inverse proportion to meaning something. If you can't define it, then you've basically have diluted it out of existence. It doesn't mean anything anymore. So Kapanim, it's also the irony, you ever wonder if Mishagasim will end at some place? The new Mishagas, which is pushing the water, is open marriage. So I have no problem with Snus. I mean, I do have a problem, but that's it's logical. The person's not having a family. He's being Mazana. Okay, that at least it's understand. The word Snus is understandable, but the word open marriage is like having a frozen fire. It doesn't mean open marriage. Marriage by definition means a bond, and a bond it embraces and excludes. That's the definition of it. And the definition of a family is that this is its metzias, and in as much as it has its own metzias, it's outside the others. I once saw a beautiful vart, just kind of Ian Lee, just beautiful hargosh. I really, really liked it. From Reb Shimshon Pinkus. Reb Shimshon Pinkus was a man of very, very deep and powerful emotions, very poetic emotions. He was also a fiery personality. Some of his kanoz comes from there. But that was, see, once asked, why do we say Tzeischem L'Shalom on Friday night? Seems to be extremely inhospitable that we tell Malachim to leave. So Reb Shimshon Pinkus said, you know, at a chasna, you dance chasan kal to the yichud room. And at that point, you wish everybody well and you close the door. He said, Klal Yisrael on Shabbos is a cheder yichud. and they accompany you till the Cheder Yichud Malachim. But even for Malachim, there's no room in a Yichud room. That's the very, very beautiful Hagasha, very deep. Okay, that's one point. I saw another point that I liked a lot, and that was before a little bit. It says, Vatirena Mialdois, Melamed Shetovon Ledvar Veira, Veloy Nitbe'u. This I saw in Reb Tzadik says, in David Tzadik. He says, Veloy Nitbe'u means, it doesn't say that they weren't mezaneh. It says v'loy nitbe'u. In other words, sometimes somebody makes a request of me and I struggle with it and I tell the person no. Sometimes the request just doesn't even register. I'm not even shy to that request. So he said v'loy nitbe'u means it never took hold in them. It didn't even mean anything to them. His being tavera and levar avera. I thought it's very strong in pshat and in content. Okay, so the next we're holding here in the middle of the piece, and that maral vaitzav par lechol amay lemar al amay goza sholosh kseiros goza. Right after the piece in the maral, it's vaitzav par lechol amo. So. Amar Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina, Afal Amo Gaza, Vatamhu Sheit Stagninim or Yoimrim Hayoim Nolad Ben Shem Hashias Yisrael, Veino Yerim Mitzayim Yisrael Hu, Amad VeGaza VeYisayim Afal Amoy, VeChol Ben Hayilad HaYoret Hashlichu, VeLoik Siv Kol Ben Hayilad Yisrael HaYoret Hashlichu. So he says, VeMtayma Im Yodu Stagninim Hayoim Nolad Erchim Hashias Yisrael, Lomol Yodim Mitzayim Yisrael. Like he says, I don't say something. If they knew. Why didn't they know all the details? You know, it makes a lot of sense to say, if you know, you know. Yeshleima shiny Moshe mipnei shnikro ben lebas paro, shehoises mitzvus, shenema ve'elo bnei basya bas paro yavigda vavisoichoi, v'zeo Moshe. Ulefika luchol das miyisrael mitzrayim hu, shamegadol yosadech pesuk kila yoldei, ulefika loed miyisrael imitzrayim hu. So I want to speak about this a minute or two. We have a tendency to translate phenomena, other world phenomena, into our experience. So if I would have secret information from somebody about something or other, then I would probably have all the information, unless the person wasn't telling me. So we tend to picture this type of, parapsychological intuition, this type of Ruach HaTumah, where the Balei Kishuv knew and understood what was going to be as sort of information coming in, is sort of somebody calling in information, like a spy calling information, that type of thing. That's not quite it. I guess if I can give a marshal for it, just like a weather report, you can have a weather report where somebody's staying outside and it's pouring and he calls up the radio station and says it's a real heavy rain, or the radio announcer looks out the window and it's really pouring rain. So that's one type of weather. There's another type when I see clouds right on top. There's another type where I see clouds forming in the distance and winds, and I can get a general sense of where things are happening. Anything that you tap into a koach beyond the physical world, as you move higher, it's less and less clear what it is. Just that's the nature of it. It hasn't taken on a final form yet. So just like you can tell certain things about a fetus, but you can never be 100% positive until it hasn't actually come out. Just because in its formation stage, the earlier it is in the formation stage, the more vague it is, and the more there's a suggestion of something, but it's really hard to get a finger on it. So too, whenever you tap into any world above our world, you get a sense of something, but you can't actually be very specific. A Navi, the Rambam says, had the Pisrin told to him as well. A Navi did have information. And that's why, the Mekashvim and so on would always, they could never be 100% right. A Navi Sheker is never 100% right because he does tap into some koach, but he doesn't have the information as to what it means and so on. I always wonder, this idea, this musig must be, for those of you who ever studied Shakespeare, Macbeth, in a previous Gilgal or two Gilgalim ago, I remember there's a scene about where the magicians tell him that your castle won't be conquered until a forest doesn't come here, and a man born out of woman will conquer you. I don't know if those of you probably remember better. And he was very happy that no one's going to conquer him until what happened in the end was that the soldiers attacking the castle used like wooden, like trees to camouflage themselves, and they marched up. And the person who took down the castle was born a Caesarian, and therefore he wasn't born of woman. And I forgot, somebody tells him, I haven't chazed it in a long time, but someone told him never listen to the witchcraft because they don't tell you the full truth, or something along those lines. And that was the point of it. But it is like that. In other words, they're never oimid on information the way a Navi is oimid. So therefore, since Moshe Rabbeinu's Metzias was somewhat enveloped in Mitzrayim's Metzias, therefore they could not be oimed on it, and therefore they couldn't tell. So they could tell something that was quite clear. In other words, today is the big day, that wasn't hidden. But since Moshe Rabbeinu's Metzias was somewhat enmeshed in Mitzri Metzias, therefore they couldn't get a hold of it. V'oid. Kashatega madregas mashabel shal mashe nivdol mikhayes ob mayla shalom lo nishtatev im shayes ob malosam lo yochol no das im shol me umais kil fi madregas maloso et sirif shitem shayes ol vaven zahete. So this is one of the places the Maral speaks a lot. He'll speak about it later and so on. Spoke about it before. Moshe Rabbeinu's madrega was unique. Moshe Rabbeinu was shakul connected all Klal Yisrael. Leharaya, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Hanichali v'achalim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy and make the Ummah come from Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't said that it was impossible, he just said it's not going to have a kiyum. But Moshe Rabbeinu was one person who, his metzias was all of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, his Metzias did not need to be seen as a branch of Klal Yisrael, but rather it was Kailal everything. Spoke about it by Richos a while back. Sal Kol Panim, everybody else's, every other Yid's Metzias is within the context of Klal Yisrael. So Maral says, So the Maral points out two things that we learn from this Chazal. One is, you know, when a person does something wrong, it's an impulse. It's okay, you know, every person in a fit of anger can do something bad, slam somebody, so on and so forth. When you repeat something three times, then it means this is you. It's not something, the first time you get scared, you panic. The Klal Yisrael is getting so strong. It's not, you make a gzeira. But the fact that you repeat it three times means that this gzeira is something which is real and it's coming from your coremost sense of what you want to do. The second thing Maral points out is I mean, the fact they were Geuze, the second Zaire was that Geuze and all and all the members of even Mitzri children. So why is it like Zaire and Klal Yisrael? I mean, so that's not something that describes in any way Gezeres and Klal Yisrael. So the Maral says it doesn't describe a Gezer and Klal Yisrael, but it describes the depths of his hatred that he was willing even to kill his own children. A big Klal Yisrael shouldn't have it. So it wasn't just, you know, until a certain point you make a defense and you say, I'm scared they're going to attack me. Okay, so I understand that. But if you're willing to sacrifice your own just that they shouldn't have something, then you're not worried about them killing you. You killed your own. It's just such a hatred. It's you know, Thomas Nafshin Plishtim type of hatred. And that's why it's the Gezeira is a much more intense version of the in terms of hatred than was before. Okay. The next piece over here is in the Agadata in Yaakov, it's Lamed Ches. It says Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, Vayikach es bas Levi. So Lehechen Holach, and Rizvina Sholach Batzas Bitoy. It was Miriam that she told him to take back her mother, Yechevet. Tana Amr God Lador Hoya, Ki Mishra Shama Park, Abena Eloida, Oyotashihu, Oma Lishavon Amelim, Oma Vigarish as Ishtoi, Om the Kongoshin Sosem. Omole Bito Yabba Koshik Zeroska Yasim Shal Pari, Rotten Parasha, Shapila Goza Schermat Exata Scherma Cavis, Parla Goza El Balam Hazat Exat Balam Hazam Haba, Paras a Russia who suffix of his girls and his Kayemis, your Tsadi Gazeus for sure. Omad versus Ishtoi Mekuver Siroi. So then it says Vayikach Vayach Zemiboyle. Why does it say Vayikach? He returned her. In other words, he had sent her off, and now he took her back. I mean, Zvina Shasolei Maiseli Kuchin. He made a real fancy chasen. Hayshiva Bapiryo, and he put it down in a chuppah or whatever it is, some sort of Va'aron Miriam Meraktin Ofneim Malach Hashas Oimrim Eim Abonim Smecha. And then finally, as Bas Levi, after Bas Meir, Shoshim Shana Hoyse, she's called a Bas. The Amr of Chama Chinin is Yechevet Shaharasalei Sabin Achoymois. Amr of Yehuda Shanel de Bosimani Nairis. So the Gemara here says that he took her back and she was Neulad Bo Simani Nairis. So Raul says, Veilch Ichmes Levi, Vim Toima Lomois and Evuali de Miriam, Lois and Evuali de Aaron. So his first question is, you know, Aaron was also around. So wouldn't it be more fitting that the Nevuah be through Aaron rather than Miriam? Aaron was bigger and so on. V'nir loyma, ki Nevuah zoi si hoi siru'i le Miriam, ki ha-ge'ula de Moshe v'Aaron, ki nechsiv. Olefikach loya Aaron misnabe al zeh, she'tomir ha-novi misnabe al dove shel acha, ben misnabe al sheyikar la'atzmoy. So the first shot that he says is because it was a nevuah about the geula that's coming, and since Aaron and Moshe are the etzem are the goalim. And it's a nevuah about them. A nevuah about Moshe is a nevuah about Aaron. Like it says Chazal, many places they're both shokel, and wherever you have one, you have the other, and so on. So therefore, you couldn't say a nevuah about yourself. That's what the Maral says. Nevuahs are not about yourself. Not clear why not. In his Gevuras Hashem, which is, he says, it's almost the same thing, which a lot of the Chiddush HaGodesi does. He says, "Kegula de Moshe v'Aaron k'nechsiv, v'kloy Aaron misnabel zeh, she'tomer anov misnabel dov shel acha, ve'ein misnabel sheyikar la'atzmoy." And it doesn't, the Maral doesn't say over here, Olefikoch, Eloya Aaron Mesab, it's a Mashiach Mesab, Latzmoy. She'ein Moishabli. Aaron Shneem Hashav Akech Begula Zeis. So he says over here is that it's, you don't have a Novi La'atzmoy. Isn't that cool what it means? The Rambam says in Mefurish, the Rambam says, some Nevuas are for yourself, some Nevuas is for the public. Some Nevuas are, you know, you tell other people. The vast majority of Nevuas were personal enlightenments for a Navi. So I mean, it's hard to understand where the personal enlightenment over here comes. We're not. Why not? So I think possibly the following. Doesn't say the Maral. I see here in the Gevuras Hashem, Rav Hartman goes off into long arichos that since Nevu is a form of Dibur, Dibur only makes sense if it is somebody else. The problem is, it's not, I mean, you know, the Rambam claims is not that, and doesn't, and most of us were personal enlightenment. I think this is very different. It's over here, certainly in Nevuah, that is a type of, what's the right word for it? A type of enlightenment, a type of deeper understanding of the Rebbeinu Shalom, and so on. That is something which comes from, it can come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to you and about yourself. It is about yourself. It's a deeper understanding of something. But over here, this nevuah came with a tzivui. In other words, she was coming along and she was telling him that what he's supposed to do and that he's supposed to go and marry her to bring about the girl of Klal Yisrael. So that's something that a nevuah about yourself, that you need to do this for me so that I come to prominence as a nevuah, as a goyel, is not, then it takes away from the Dvar Hashem Shabbai. When it's objective and it's coming about somebody else, then in terms of tzivui of a Dvar Hashem, maybe that's where the Klal Moral applies. That is what I could think of to make sense, or else it's very hard to understand it. Then he says a second pshat. V'efsha, mishum sha'arna yiparsa shal shanim, lo yiroi lahak esbay yiparsa shal shanim, keramina gab avram shal shanim kesbayroi, umashu yiparsa loy. So since Aaron was 3 years younger than Moshe, and so obviously at this point he was less than 3 years old, he couldn't be makir esbayroi. Three seems to be an age, and he learns it from Avram Avinu, the fact that Chazal said ben shalosh shanim hikas boyrei, it seems that he understood that this is the earliest age possible that a person could be makas boyrei, and therefore there wasn't shaykh, he wasn't a kli that could be shaykh to be makabel divrei Dvar Hashem. Okay, then the Maral says v'dorshu shoshiva ba'piryoy v'yesh le'tmoya le'tmoa. I mean, what are Chazal trying to tell us? That they made a very fancy wedding. They made it in some sort of fancy place, and they made a really happy chasn. I mean, what are Chazal telling us? Omnam, dovaze inyan amayik, ki hoya dovaze lasis lekuchim chadoshim, meshechozu leis nairo ked mefarish. Samral says that this all fits a certain pattern, and this is the pattern that he's been that he's been kind of planting all along. The Moshe Rabbeinu's Maila and Madrega stands unique, and it can't be seen only as a in terms of parental genetics, in terms of another element in Klal Yisrael, no matter how important. It had to be something extraordinary, and ki'ilu, a new shoresh, a new bracious. So, because Amram and Yocheved already had children, so Moshe Rabbeinu would have been an other child. He would have been a hemshich of a certain of a certain pattern. So he has wonderful children. This is another child, more wonderful than the other children. It was an ishus of Amram Yocheved, and one of the fruits of that ishus was Moshe Rabbeinu. Everything about this parsha was different, and that is that we saw in Mal Vayelch Ishmi Beis Levi, Vayikach Bas Levi. We don't get a name because we really don't want to be toilet on the parents. It's like a new bria. It was a new special likuchin for this seed of Aaron HaKohen. It was meant to be uniquely for them. For Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm sorry, that was supposed to be it. And so everything about it had a new chiddush, a new metzias, not a hemshech. I want to talk a minute about it. We spoke a lot about Moshe Rabbeinu being the klal, and you know, the klal of Klal Yisrael and so on. We also need to say another nekuda. The Rambam says that Klal Yisrael was buried in Mitzrayim, ukemat kot, he says. The Rambam says we were hair's breadth away from this ikur gadol of Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu being nishtakach and so on and so forth, but because of the ava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to us and the shvuah that he swore to our others, he brought us Moshe Rabbeinu the Goyel, the Mashiach, and he's the one that's mitzvah the Torah, and that's his Akdamah Toras Avodah Zarah. What the Rambam is saying is the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael did not come from within, but it came from without. Let's take a very simple mashal. Sometimes your car is stuck on a cold day, and you turn the key, and you push and turn and turn and push, and the car, there's enough juice left in the battery where the car it jumps to action. It goes. There's sometimes when skatenish not there. You take an outside cable, you put some juice into your car, and then your car goes. And it replenishes itself. It refills the battery and recharges the battery and so on. So, if let's say my battery is dead, be'etzim. So no matter how many cables, I mean, I can pull cables and start the engine, but there's nothing in these batteries that can be charged. It's not going to go. Yeah, as long as the other car is schlepping it, it'll schlep, but it's not going. On the other hand, if the car is it jump starts on its own. So the pshat was, it still was a viable entity. It just needed to have a jump start. It just needed more push and pull to get it moving. There's the unique moment, there's a new situation where it has potential for chiyus, but doesn't really have chiyus anymore. And when you get the cable over from another battery, another car, that's when you're able to have that chiyus come into the car, and then the car lights up by itself. Klal Yisrael was so far gone that pushing and pulling from within wouldn't have done it. It is so ironic. Moshe Rabbeinu did not grow up in Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mashiach of Yisrael, grew up in as an Egyptian. And then his father took him a Midianite and took him to there. And he had two incidents involving Jews. He was an outsider. He was an outsider to a degree that the Chachmei Mitzrayim couldn't tell that he was Jewish. And the reason is because the Geula had to come from some outside force. But if it just would have stayed that way, if let's say it just would have been Moshe's Geula, that wouldn't have worked. Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell them that Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. You know, if they'll ask him who's calling, he'll have to say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. But it needed a person outside the system. A getter, like it says in Chazal, Ein Chovish Moitzas Mibes Asurim. A person who's imprisoned, no matter how strong he is, he's not getting out of the jail without an outsider pulling him out. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a tzur of an outsider. He had whatever Koyach Klal Yisrael had, he had by himself. He wasn't, had he been a dependent of Klal Yisrael, so if the person I'm dependent on is deep in the ground, so I'm with him. He had to be viable on his own, but his tachlis was to jumpstart Klal Yisrael that they get out of the hole they're in and become a viable entity, right? That I think is the pshat over here. Okay, any questions, any points, anything?
Adavar HaMashulach Shchazik Moed, that's not a reference to Chut HaMashulach?
It is. It's a general sense that anything done three times has stopped being an accident and is something which I see is part of the atzmius of a person. You know, it's the rule of thumb. I measure if somebody has if somebody did something difficult or whatever it is, you write it off as, you know, one time stress or whatever it is. But at the third time, you say to yourself, you know, this is the person.
The Chut is not based on the Kasav Hashishi of Shemchir B'nei.
It's, well, take it at a simple level. For some reason, we feel Yisraim is clearly a Metzias. I mean, that's normal. Okay, next week in Mitzvah Hashem.